The hymnologist said, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, hallelujah, we sit by the truth and sell it not. Glory, hallelujah, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to ask you to return with us to the book of Jonah. Y'all know Jonah's in the Old Testament. Go to Obadiah and turn right. Amen. Brother Ron read so beautifully from the first chapter. And I want to invite your thoughtful attention to the third chapter. I want to read verses 1 through 4. If you have it, say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to read this word after me. "And the word of the Lord,
the Lord
came unto Jonah the second time,
saying,
Arise and go unto Nineveh,
that great city,
and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city, a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." I want to thank the people of God for reading the word of God in the house of God. And I want to thank the Lord for his word, that it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has penetrating properties and powers. It has salvific properties, meaning that it will save your soul if you will comply or obey it. Now I want to share a very important lesson this morning. It's going to be a brief lesson. Just say amen. It's going to be a brief lesson. And here is the title. I want you to repeat this title after me. It's 3 days. But I will begin now. Let's say it again. It's 3 days. But I will begin now. Once again, it's 3 days.
I will begin now.
Many of you have heard the story of Jonah. It is not a mythical story. It is not a story that one has made up. It is not fictional. But it is a true account of true events connected with this prophet and this preacher called Jonah. Jesus gives credence and credibility to the story of Jonah because in Matthew chapter 12, verses 40 And 41, the Lord talks about as Jonah was in the whale's belly. For 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He also talked about the fact that the great city of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. Yeah. And yet he said in contrast to that, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And yet men were not moved by the preaching of Jesus as they were in the case of Jonah. Now Jonah had some hang-ups. Jonah had some problems. I'll let you know that preachers can have hang-ups and preachers can have problems. Amen. A preacher can have issues.
Yes, sir, preacher.
Amen. I know because I'm one of them.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right?
Amen.
Jonah was a hard-headed preacher, and sometimes you have hard-headed preachers.
Come on now.
Jonah was a disobedient preacher, and sometimes you have disobedient preachers. But somebody put it this way, there is something bad in the best of us and something good in the worst of us, so it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us.
All right, man.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
It's not good to throw rocks if you live in a glass house.
Yeah.
And one of the best advice I could give you, don't be messing around in nobody else's closet unless you want yours messed around in. Is that all right? So Jonah had a lot of problems. So this, my dear brothers and sisters, is a message on motivation.
All right.
Motivation is a big issue in the real world.
Yes, sir.
Everybody deals with some level of motivation. Mm-hmm. There's motivational concerns in corporate America.
Yes, sir.
There are motivational concerns in our family environments.
All right.
There are motivational concerns in the kingdom of God. Amen. A lot of problems develop in our own personal lives because of motivational issues. Amen. The Bible addresses motivation. That was a song one day sang by some thoughtful singer. Lord, we need more inspiration. Gotta have more motivation to bring salvation to the nation.
All right.
So this is a book with many lessons. It speaks so many things to us. Somebody said, if you don't learn the lessons of the past, you're doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yes, sir.
The Word of God lets us know that even though we live in 2015, we have all type of cyber advantages and modern advantages, there are lessons and insights, precepts and concepts we can learn from the Old Testament that would help us to be more effective as we live in the modern world.
Amen.
So there are two things I want you to briefly see this morning. I want you to see, number one, that Jonah dealt with negative emotion and negative motivation. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And the second point is, what could we do if we really got motivated?
Amen.
I was expecting y'all to say amen on that, but I was hoping for y'all to say something on that.
Amen.
Is that all right? Well, Jonah had some negative motivation and negative emotions. And I'm pretty sure all of us at some moment in life deal with negative motivation, negative emotion. Therapists tell us now that negative emotion can really ruin your life and negative emotion would be fear, would be envy, be jealousy, uncontrolled anger. Negative emotion can really have a negative impact upon our lives. Well, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And when the word of God comes to anybody, there is a reaction and response to.
Yes, sir.
And God confronts everybody with his word.
Amen.
Now, when the word of God comes to you, me, or whoever we are,
yes, sir.
Some people choose to ignore the word.
All right.
Some people choose to run from the word.
Some
people choose to put the word off to another, a more convenient time. And some people just flat out reject the word. And then there are some people who humbly submit to the word. So the point is, when the word of God, when you hear or you understand, or we hear and we understand what the will of God is, what God wants me to do, in a given context or situation, there is always a reaction and a response to God's word.
Amen.
When Jonah heard the word that Brother Ron read about, he fled. And it lets me know that not only does God fight for us, God fights with us.
Amen.
Did y'all get that?
Amen.
He fights for us. He fights the battles that we couldn't win on our own, but also God has to fight with us, because within all of us are some issues that don't want to comply or conform.
Amen.
That's why we have to practice self-denial and self-crucifixion, because I got some stuff in me.
Come on, help me, preacher.
Y'all gonna help me this morning.
Amen.
That make it difficult. I might hear the word might come, but I just ain't feeling it. Not that I don't know what the words say, but I just don't want to do it in this instance.
Yes, sir.
Y'all mighty quiet. Is this making y'all uncomfortable?
Come on, preacher.
Praise God. Is that all right?
All right?
The word came to Jonah, and he fled. God told him what to do, like God tell us what to do. But because of negative motivation and negative emotion, he didn't want to do it.
No, sir.
Sometimes God tells us to deal with folks we don't like.
Well, man.
In fact, God said, pray for folks you don't like.
Amen.
Oh, help me here.
Yes, sir.
Is that all right? It say, love your
enemy.
That's not a command we just in love with in the Bible, right? Am I right about that?
Yep.
We know it's in there, but that's not one of our favorite verses. Jonah didn't particularly like the Ninevites. They had a very negative reputation.
All right.
So when the word came to Jonah, he got to running. And some people are running from God instead of running for God.
All right, man. Thank you, said something.
Reach out. Amen. And some been running for God for the last 15 years. And they say, I'm going to get it together, Lord, one of these days. But right now, I ain't feeling it, Lord. So Jonah, because of negative motivation, he got on a ship. And the next thing we see is drama and trauma that comes to Jonah's life. And sometimes, for some of us to obey, God got to send some drama and some trauma. Hello.
Amen.
For us to be in a position where we might even consider doing what God says do.
Amen.
Because Jonah, as Brother Ron read it, got on a ship, and God deals with us. Every day I'm disobedient, God deals with me.
All right, now.
Don't you think that God ever ignores you or ignores me? And you know why I know he doesn't ignore me? Because a bird can't fall to the ground without the Lord taking note. He has the hairs of our head numbered.
Yeah.
And I told the sisters up in Gavin, if you got it, if you got a weed, you got that too. Is that all right? He knows all about us. So whenever I'm disobedient, God either deals with me in forbearance and patience, because he's still blessing me, not because of my performance, but because of his goodness. Is that all right? And he either deals with us where he chastises us. He sends problem. He sends drama and trauma. And you sometimes wonder why you're going through something. It could very well be because of your disobedience. So God sends a great storm. And the sea is tempestuous. The white caps are kissing upon the turbulent majesty of the ocean. And the ship appears to be going to be destroyed. And the sailors, these seasoned sailors, Brother Sperling, they're terrified. Everybody's praying and crying out to God. They were praying in Mexico because of one of the biggest hurricanes in the northern hemisphere was churning. And when God gets ready to move, sometimes all you can do is pray. Because ain't nothing else you can do.
Amen.
And the storm was raging and Jonah was asleep. And finally, Jonah knew he was the cause of the storm. And sometimes stuff I do in my life creates storms in my life.
Amen.
Y'all all right? Y'all still out there? And so the expedited, they said, why are you sleeping, old sleeper? Wake up and call upon your God. And Jonah said, really, now I know really I'm the cause of this.
Yeah.
And some stuff, you know, you look around, try to blame somebody, but really just look in the mirror, you'll see the culprit.
Yeah.
Just look in the mirror, you'll see the person who's responsible for what you're going through right there in some instances. Want to make that clear, amen? So they throw him overboard, Sister Sperling, and God sends a whale to swallow up Jonah.
Yes, sir.
Drama, trauma. Jonah now is in the whale's belly, engine, and he's praying. He got seaweed wrapped all around his head, and he's squeezed in the whale's belly. And Jonah in the whale's belly begins to pray, oh Lord. Sometimes you get in a tight spot and get squeezed and your head being wrapped up.
Right.
You will pray.
Yeah.
Pray for 3 days and 3 nights. And finally, Ron, God commanded the whale. You see, the whale wasn't disobedient.
Yeah. Amen. Preacher.
He told the whale to swallow Jonah, and the whale did. And then he told the whale to belch him up, and the whale did.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And so he released him. Now the drama and the trauma, and now Jonah is in a position now. He's more receptive.
Yes, sir, preacher.
We have a lot of us sitting here right now. We ain't quite ready to make that move.
Come on, preacher. Talk to me.
Y'all all right? I know I should make the move, but I just ain't quite ready. I got some stuff I got to handle.
Come on, make it plain, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
It's some stuff I ain't ready to turn loose.
That's it.
Just yet.
That's it.
But now he's ready. Now, there's been some debate, Brother Wyatt, about the 3 days.
Yeah.
Nineveh was a 3 days journey. He made it in one day. There's been some discussion about whether Jonah made a 3 day journey in one day because he was motivated.
Yeah.
But deeper study of the text tends to suggest that it was not that he made a 3 day journey in one day, but that because Nineveh was such a big city, it took about 3 days to walk around the city. And when he went about a day's journey, he began to preach. The point is, he was now ready to hear and to obey God's word because he had been through something.
Yeah.
And some of us got to go through something negative.
All right.
Before we are ready to comply with the commands of God. And he's very effective. He's highly effective.
Yes, sir.
Because this man is preaching so. He has a level of preaching that is so moving that the entire city repents.
Yes, sir.
That's a powerful preacher.
Amen.
Now, of course, now he don't want them to repent. I ain't never seen a preacher like that.
Come on, preacher.
You got converts and don't want them.
Amen.
But the point is, when Jonah got motivated. Now watch this. Let me digress. When the word came to Jonah the second time. Here's a question. How many times must I hear the word before I'm ready to obey? How many times God got to tell me to do something before I'm ready to do it? That's pretty deep, ain't it? Some stuff God been telling me to do 5 years ago. So the question is, how many times does God have to speak to me before I'm ready to comply? So when the word came the second time, after he went through the drama and the trauma, he's ready now. Sure, but let me say this, and I'm gonna say good morning to you. Let me give you the second point. And the second point is, what could we do if we really got motivated? Jimmy, I would suggest this morning that a lot of time when people say in their spiritual life that I can't do something, it's really a matter of low motivation or no motivation. Now, if I say, now don't y'all get mad at me. If I say, I just can't get here at 9 o'clock.
Come on, talk to me, please.
All right.
It's because I got an issue with motivation.
Yeah.
Y'all all right?
All right, please. Come on.
So a lot of time when I say that I can't do something in my life or something I know I ought to be doing and I'm capable of doing and I don't do it because I have an issue with motivation. Either low motivation or no motivation. Amen? Well, somebody might say, somebody told Zig Ziglar, they said, and we all need motivation.
Amen.
Don't you? Don't you need motivation to get up every morning to go to work?
Right.
The clock ran. You don't really want to get up, right? But what motivates you? Y'all all right? Amen. So it's an issue of
motivation.
Somebody told Zig Ziglar. Well, motivation doesn't last, and Zig Ziglar said, bathing don't either. So that's why you do it every day. Some stuff you gotta do every day, and you gotta keep on doing it. Like Bill Withers said, if it feels this good being used, then keep on using me till you use me up. That's motivation right there, ain't it? Amen. So I say to you, if we are not looking at Jesus, if we're not looking unto Jesus, then we got motivational issues. The person that everybody in this church ought to be looking at is Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to tell you that Jesus Sister Fairweather, I know you like to deal with those seven habits of highly, excuse me, Sister Anderson, excuse me. I stand corrected. I saw how Philando looked at me. Excuse me, Doc, I apologize. Sister Anderson, you like those seven habits of highly effective people. Let me tell you this. Highly effective people are highly motivated. Highly effective people are highly motivated. And Jesus Christ was a highly effective person because he was highly motivated. A success guru put it this way. He said that when you speak excuses, you speak power to that excuse. And it could last a lifetime. So whenever you select an excuse and you speak it, you speak power to that excuse. Malcolm X talked about the fact how some people are caught up in a vicious cycle. And we have to break the vicious cycle by interrupting that cycle. Amen? So I got to look under Jesus. I got to look at Jesus and look under Jesus. Let me give you three motivational points in the life of Christ. Number one, he said, my me. Anybody here know what your favorite dish is?
All right.
Can you give me a few examples? I'm just about done. What you really like to eat?
Chicken.
Chicken and dressing?
Chicken and dumplings.
Lord, I'm going to have to go get me some of them since you said it. He done messed me up, huh? I was doing all right till he said that. So if that's your favorite meal, nobody has to make you.
Come on now, help us see it, preacher.
You ain't got to put a gun to my head, talk about bluebell. But look, I done changed now, man. I'm going housing dog now. Yeah, bluebell, I think they done lost me with them. I think I'm gone. We'll see. But nobody has to force me. Jesus said, my meat is to do. And I'm saying to you, my dear brothers and sisters, doing God's will, it's got to feel good to us.
Amen.
We got to get motivated.
Yes, sir.
That's how you become a great Christian. You get motivated. And then he said, the zeal of God's house has eaten me up. It has consume me. Watching that game yesterday. That game that Alabama won. Since you asked, I wasn't. Rachel, I wasn't going to. But since they asked, that game they won 19-14. Nobody had to force me to be there. Couldn't hardly get ready to go keep an appointment because I was right there at the game. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody forced the fans to be there.
No, sir.
Next week they got the classic coming to town. Nobody going to force people to be out there.
Amen.
Nobody going to force people to tailgate.
Oh,
they motivated.
Yeah.
We asked you to tailgate at the church. You think we done lost our mind? Ask you to get here 3 hours before church. You say, you burn mouth crazy. Crazy as a Bessie boy, crazy as a rogue lizard. I'm talking about motivation, y'all. And then he said, watch this. Then he said, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to say good morning to you, but I'll give you three things. Write these three things down. Let me do two things. Number one, let me do the real basis of real motivation in the church. Let me give you that. Then I'm going to give you three tools for outstanding success. Here's the real basis for real motivation in the church. Here they are. Number one, it's the gift of God. The thing that should really motivate us is what God has given us. And that is, he gave his son to die for our sins. That's the greatest gift of all. And that's why Paul writes in Romans 12, I beseech you. Watch this. By the mercies of God. That's what motivates me. The mercy. Has God been good to you? Does his mercy endure unto all generations? And because of that, that motivates me. He said, I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's going to motivate you? The mercy. The gift of God. Now you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty. What the Lord Jesus did for me. What he has done for me is the highest form of motivation in the church.
Praise the Lord.
The cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then the second component of that is a burning desire to do the will of God. One day I was talking with Floyd on the phone. We were talking, you know, preachers talking, and we look at it, and Floyd said, well, this is going on. I said, Floyd, I think what's happening, I'll leave you with this. I said, I think what's happening in the church is we're bringing people in the kingdom of God, but we're not creating in them the mind of Christ. They're here, but they're yet carnal.
All right, preacher.
We got to create in people the mind, the thinking of Christ.
Yes, sir.
And then they'll live like Christ.
Have mercy.
Amen? Amen. Three twos for outstanding success. Number one is wisdom. You got to have that if you want to go to the next level. Wisdom. Number two, you got to have discipline. And number three, you got to have motivation. You put those three together, you become unstoppable. Amen?
Amen.
So I say good morning to you and say that God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps upon the sea and he rides upon the storm.
Yes, sir.
Brother Spurgeon, I'm convinced this morning that God is moving. Somebody said, I can feel him moving in the wind, in the breeze, through the trees. I can feel him, Jimmy. He's moving people to go to the next level. He's moving people to step into their greatness. He's moving people to leave the world and embrace the cross. Is that all right? And if God moves you, you become a force. And I'll say this, it may be a 3-day journey, but if you get motivated, you could do it in one day. Is that all right? If I get motivated, Wes, there are some things I can do that would blow my mind. Is that all right? Amen, church?
Amen.
That's the message. Would you stand, please? That's the message. Anybody motivated this morning to say yes to Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody motivated to say no to sin and yes to the Lord Jesus? Anybody motivated to say, I'm going to stop half-stepping? Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be where I need to be. When I need to be there. Amen. I had to go to court. I had a 9 o'clock appointment, Cupcake. And I was there at 8 o'clock. Didn't want to be late. Amen? Don't be like the man. He was on the garbage truck. And Jimmy, the lady was running with the trash. She said, hey, am I too late? He said, no, jump on. I better quit, y'all. It's getting good to me, JK. I better let it alone. If you're here this morning, we're asking you to be responsive. If you're not a child of God, you can become one by believing the word of God, believing the gospel of Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ, being baptized. Lord, add you to the church you read about in the Bible. And there's only one church you can read about in the Bible. It was interesting, when I was doing the meeting in Gaston, I ran into a PhD, a doctor. And he, for some reason, he wanted to debate me. Well, you know, I don't mind. And when he got to talking all that stuff, I said, man, that's philosophical skepticism. He said, ooh. Telling me I can't know. And I said, Jesus said, you can know. You shall know the truth and the what? So don't you buy that fooling that you can't know nothing. Amen. We can know something. And we can know that God is real. If you're a child of God this morning and you ain't motivated, you need to get motivated and do better for the Lord. Step into your greatness. Amen? Amen. By what? Repenting, confessing, grace. If you need prayer this morning, don't be afraid to ask for prayer. Because Brother Sperling said, and he said it right, prayer changes things. Prayer can change your life. Prayer can change my life. Prayer can change this church life. Prayer can change the culture. Amen? So if you're here, we invite you to come right now as we sing, I keep falling over, over. Over, 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 now he gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a lie. I keep falling with him over, over, over.